A moral virtue, for Aristotle, is a habit, all right, but it's not a habit which reduces choice. It's a habit which increases choice, and hence in his definition of virtue, a habit of choosing the mean between the extremes, there's a tremendous focus on choosing. It's a matter, with this particular habit, it's a matter of constantly knowing what we need to know about the situation. For example, if we're dealing with courage and our response to situations that are really dangerous, it's going to be a matter of knowing really how dangerous a situation is and knowing where I'm strong and where I'm not. There's a lot of knowing that's involved. And yet, it's not just a matter of knowing. In this respect, Aristotle insists on developing the point far beyond where Socrates had it. Socrates was known for the position that virtue is a matter of knowing, and that if a person really knew, that person would necessarily act. If the person acts badly, it must have been that he didn't know. Aristotle says that isn't true. A lot of times we know perfectly well, and yet we act wrongly. Or we know what we should have done, and yet we're paralyzed and we don't act at all. Virtue is a habit of choosing the mean between extremes. Hence, it's a matter of knowing and also a matter of disposing ourselves to act upon that knowledge. Which of us hasn't been to the doctor and heard what's good for us? But staying away from cholesterol is another problem. Think then, if you will, of the division between different types of habits. And let me propose this distinction as very germane to Aristotle's texts. I call them automatism habits and mastery habits. An automatism habit is a habit where regularly you do a thing so that you don't even think about it. The way you get up in the morning and you literally put the right foot on the floor first and then the left. You go to the shower first and then you proceed to get your breakfast. Most of us don't need to think about those things. It isn't a matter of in a habit of choosing. It's a habit of acting when we're still not awake enough and haven't had our coffee in order to choose anything. But there are other habits which can increase our powers of choice. Think, for example, of something like typing. Do you touch type with all 10 fingers? Or do you do biblical typing? Seek and ye shall find. Your habit involved here is a skill that you've achieved over the years, and it allows you greater flexibility so that if you touch type, even if it's only with a couple of fingers, you're able to do much more because you don't have to stop and figure out which finger goes with what key, but it allows you to choose what to type because your mind can be elsewhere. Or, for example, when you were driving, learning to drive a car, I'll bet that your hands were on 10 and 2, and that every telephone pole looked like it was about to lean out, every little rock that you saw on the road was a boulder, and every pedestrian was a moving obstacle. And then, a month or two later, one drives with one hand on the wheel, talking to the person in the back seat. But you do this because now you've achieved the habit, and you know what things are really dangerous and need to be watched out for, and what things are just normal and things will proceed just fine. And the habit that you have means that some of the knowledge is in your hands, but that it allows you to make all sorts of choices far more easily and regularly and even with a certain pleasure. Musicians often tell us that some of the knowledge is in their fingers when they're playing the piano. And yet, their mind is very much in control, not only of what piece they'll choose and what key they'll play, but how they play it, with what tempo and with what feeling and with what emotion. There's a tremendous way in which one can increase one's powers of choice by getting a habit. Aristotle's theory of moral virtue is a theory which focuses in on the knowledge, but focuses in on the knowledge as a means of getting us additional control and making it possible for us to choose to do the thing that we really want to do with a greater ease, with a greater regularity, and with even a certain amount of pleasure. That even if it goes against the grain a little bit, we can come to feel a pleasure at the right thing, at the right time, and with the right amount. Now here let me interrupt the discussion of Aristotle for just a minute to take note of the fact that when he proposes this theory of ethics, he is in decided contrast with other philosophers when they come to think about virtue. The philosopher Immanuel Kant, to whom I've referred before in these talks, a philosopher of the Enlightenment period, held the position that something isn't virtue if we find it too easy or too pleasant. That virtue will really be apparent when we're in a situation of conflict and when we recognize our duty and act not because we gain anything from it, not because we will be attracted to it and to the achievement or the resultant of the activity, but rather that virtue comes when we steel our will, when we exert enormous willpower, and can overcome something that is repellent to us, or when we can resist an attraction.